Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few inspirational moments and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. I was thinking a little bit more about the community discussion. And one of the things that the group I mentioned to you in the last episode talked about was ways they were connecting with their elders and their desire for information. And I thought that was really wonderful. I am a genealogist at heart, and I have been taking notes, writing information, and, you know, asking questions of my elders since I was a teenager. And I got the genealogy bug when my youngest son was in high school, and we had to put together a tree. Now, I've always loved asking questions, meeting new family members, and things of that nature, but I hadn't actually put a tree online at that point. And after that, he was like, well, Mom, I was only supposed to go. I think it was two layers or whatnot. And I had him back to close to the 1870 census. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And what I learned as we started that was that there was a program called Family Tree Maker. So we then got a copy of that and started building a tree at home as well as the one online. And we had found so much information. I hope he's forgiven me by now because it's been so many years, but it was just amazing. And to hear that these young people, you know, are so interested in knowing where they came from, knowing who they are in terms of their family name and their family history, was just endearing to my heart. And a couple of them had shared that they didn't have a lot of information. And so it made me think of the programs that are, you know, out in the community. And it also made me think about how the community's interests are sometimes similar, but they don't have the same resources or are not as knowledgeable about certain resources. And so I was trying to be really careful so that I wasn't overstepping my invitation to share. But I think what I'd like to do is put together some information for them. At some point, I'll probably send a verbal message over and give them some ideas of things they can share with their membership. But as I said with you, I mean, I remember going back and talking with my grandmother, and I was probably about 13, and I asked her about her parents because I wanted to know who my great grandparents were, and she had shared that they had died shortly after she was born, and so she was never able to give me information. When we fast forwarded to about maybe 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, I met up with she was a second or third cousin. She was was able to find out that the last name I had been given each year and every other year when I saw my grandmother for her mother wasn't correct. So that sent me on a whole new search. And by getting that one bit of piece of information corrected, it opened up a whole new avenue for me. And so genealogy is one of those things that when you get into it, people call it a genealogy bug because it gets you excited. You want to go look for information, and you know, you're pulling census records, you're looking at marriage records, and in many cases, for a lot of people in the African American community, you will see that the people did not know how to read or write at the 1870 census. And, you know, when you finally find one in line a couple of generations from slavery, and you see where they signed their name instead of an X, it's a really, it's a good feeling. And I remember having a viewpoint and a thought based upon the information from school about how slavery was and the Civil War. And as I started doing this research as an adult, I realized that a lot of the information I was given was lacking. It was very controlled and crafted so it set up one narrative, right? And so as I became a better genealogist and honed my skills, I was able to learn more ways to find information. I learned to find the genealogy records for marriages. And another one that I thought was very just a wonderful resource is the Freedmen's Records. And so I was able to see my father's, let's say his great grandfather's marriage license. They've been kind of, they've been transcribed. So you might see an index where they're just transcriptions, no records. And then you might see an original record where there is a copy of the signature. And then somewhere else, it's been recorded again. And it could be all three of them may have three different spellings for the same person's name. And so as I got into genealogy, I understood and I learned that a lot of names really weren't, it wasn't real important back then. It wasn't, their birth dates were important. And so you have people who changed their name and some who kept some of the slave owners' names. And then you have some people who were free, you know, at before the Civil War. So these are the things I wanted to share with that group when they were talking, but that wasn't their main thing. But excuse me. Every once in a while, I'll run into someone who wants to know some information, and it's something that, you know, in another time, in another place, you know, without all of the issues that I have, I think I would have been an amazing genealogist. You know, I've always loved archaeology. And to me, when you're going through archaeology and you're doing those kind of digs, it's very similar to doing a genealogical dig. So the Freedmen's Bureau records are amazing. And they actually have records for, there's marriage license in there. There are outrage incidents license in there. There are, there's freedmen claims. So that would be if someone's horse or cattle or their farm products were taken by the army while they were fighting the Civil War, they could show a receipt or a note and they would turn around and seek reimbursement. Now, none of the ones I've seen have actually offered reimbursement, but again, I'm just looking at my people's specific information at that time. And these records are always being updated because more records are found, more repositories are accessed, and, you know, there's just a plethora of information that's available to you if you know where to look for them. And so, there were children who were taken and they were given, in some cases, back to the slave owner, under the auspice of being, of their parents not being able to take care of them because their parents, you know, didn't own property and they may have already had a whole bunch of kids. But out of this new agreement, they were supposed to get food, room and board, be educated. And once they reached a certain age, they could get their freedom and they could return back to their families. And some of the parents didn't want that for their children. And they said they were in positions to actually take care of their own children. And when they did that, it became a court case. So you have those records. And so, you know, it's just so much information out there. And I think that it's a wonderful way to actually reconnect with current family members that may have been lost through the generation. And it's a great way to instill pride in your children. You know, I think that if I had understood more about my family's history, I would have been more prideful, and not in a bad way, but I think it would have given me more confidence when I was a younger child. And so it was interesting because there was that big push for 40 acres and a mule. And a lot of people really thought at the end of the Civil War, they were going to get that. And some farms, I think, were initially given to some of the ones that had been abandoned were given to some of the slaves in certain areas. And then they, of course, took that land back and gave it back to the plantation owners and stuff. And so, you know, we're talking about 50 states. I think that, you know, you understand what I'm saying. You just have all these different districts of information. And so what may have happened in one state, in one city, in one county may not have happened in another state or county. There were certain counties that were just notorious for egregious behaviors. And then there were other counties where people weren't as angry about losing their free labor. But it's beautiful when you look at where people are now at, and you stop and think about what your family did to make it to today. And so when I stop and I think of those kind of situations, and I close my eyes and I tell myself that I don't have a reason in the world to complain, because I've never been through what some of these people have went through, you know. And it's deeper than just reading the slave narratives, because I've also found where there are some slave narratives that they just didn't seem to be complete. And so there have been a few new books that came out, one of which was The Bond Woman's Diary or something. I apologize for not having the name. I'll have that. Someone help me find it, and we'll put it into the show notes. It was released a few years back by Henry Louis Gates. And, you know, I just love history. And so as I sit here and I listen to these situations, and I listen to the, you know, the slave narratives and other resources that are out there, it just takes you to a whole another appreciation for the daily battle that people were fighting in the early 19th century. And so my idea is that if we give our children knowledge, even if they are grown and have children of their own, give them the knowledge of who they are and where they came from, and connect with them, answer their questions, provide information you have. It could be a family Bible that you may pass down to them. It might be an old picture that you have, or maybe somebody in your family, you know, donated land for a church. You know, there's so many different things that I have found in my family that really give me a lot of hope, even on my hardest days. And so I want to just reach out and ask you to make that happen. Connect with your loved ones. You know, write the letter, pick up the phone, make a phone call. You know, once things get better, you can go and you can visit where your families came from. You know, you can go back and walk the land. I remember probably about 20 years ago, I actually went and I walked the land in Lake Village, Arkansas. And I looked at the water I want to cross the bridge. And I thought about, you know, the Mississippi and what's there in the Mississippi River. It's very humbling. And I might even check and see if I can find a link for some audios. Because there may be something where you could listen to what they call virtual tours, whereas my listeners who are visual, you would listen to the virtual tour. My listeners who are visually impaired as myself, you know, we would just be able to listen. But I am going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a restful evening of peace. Be well.